Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
As promised, we gave you tips for how to hunt for ramps, and now we're giving you some recipes for cooking them.
Having is just a small window to really gather a unique ingredient that you won't be able to get anywhere at its freshest, at its most prime throughout the rest of the year.
That's Chef Bob Atkins. He'll be with us again to talk about what these fleeting springtime treats taste like. Then we'll walk you through three ways to put ramps to work in your cooking. Pickle them, turn them into a pesto, and wrap them around cod. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
The U.S. food supply has a new enemy, and in record numbers, it's killing off an agricultural superhero, bats. It's unclear what causes white nose syndrome or how it gets transmitted, but it has spread quickly since being discovered in New York in 2006. Reports say that more than 1 million bats have died since then. Bats, like the similarly threatened honeybees, are pollinators, but they play an even greater role as natural pesticides, snacking on insects that eat crops. It's estimated that bats save the agricultural industry nearly $23 million each year. This week, the New York City Council asked the question, would banning toys and Happy Meals help fight childhood obesity? If their ban passes, it would prohibit distribution of toys with any meal that has more than 500 calories, 600 milligrams of sodium, and 35% of calories from fat. Lawmakers backing the ban hope it would greatly reduce the allure of fast food restaurants for children. In December 2010, Superior, Wisconsin voted down a possible ban on toy giveaways in their city, saying the government should not interfere with parental decision-making. And to combat the recent volatility of the coffee market, Fairtrade International has enacted new standards to make sure that everyone who contributes to your morning latte is getting fairly compensated. Some of the changes include a higher Fairtrade minimum price. So, a pound of washed Arabica beans now earns a minimum of $1.40 per pound, up from $1.25 per pound. And the minimum price for organic coffee will go up 30 cents to help producers cover the rising costs of organic farming. Read more about these news stories on our website, eartheats.org. And get more news updates like this all week long by following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
The weather is never predictable in early spring, and neither are the plants that thrive during this time of year. Ramps only pop up for a few weeks each year, usually mid-April through early May, when it's still cool at night, in the 60s and 70s during the day, and rainy. As temperatures get hotter, they bolt, go to seed, and then wait for next season. But according to Chef Bob Atkins, chef de cuisine at Farm Bloomington, they are worth all the trouble it can take to find them out in the wild.
They're a member of the onion family, the alliums, but they taste like some of the most pleasant garlic and onion flavor you could ever have, really. I wouldn't say they're mild, but they aren't as astringent, I think, as cultivated onions are. They're very useful, more so than a lot of members of the family, because the leaves are so tender. They can be pureed almost like basil for a pesto. They can be sautéed like spinach. They can even be eaten raw, small amounts, tossed into salads to give an extra kick. And then as you move down, the maroon and the white parts are more for solely cooking, but you toss them with like scrambled eggs or home fries and bacon, something like that. And that's the way they eat them in West Virginia and the Virginia, the kind of Appalachian states, tossed with fried potatoes. And bacon along with some sweet peppers, stuff like that.
If you're interested in foraging for these little green gems, make sure you use all your senses on the hunt. You don't want to get fooled by a ramp's imposter.
Lily of the Valley is a plant that looks extremely like ramps, but Lily of the Valley is toxic to humans and should not be consumed. But the dead giveaway is the onion smell. If you find a plant that looks like this and it smells very strongly of onions, then it is a ramp. Lily of the Valley will not have a distinctive smell like that.
Atkins says a helpful tip for when you're foraging is that any plant that tastes like onions is not toxic to humans. Good to know. Atkins found this batch while on a fishing trip, and he discovered that he's not the only one who covets ramps.
I found these about a week and a half ago when I was out fishing on my own, and they were still pretty small. But I picked enough for myself to take home and eat that evening. And I'd been fishing for about an hour and a half beforehand, hadn't caught a fish. I started picking these, and immediately after I picked them, you touched the bait again, and I ended up catching like 8 or 10 more bass through that day.
Ramps, loved by people and fish alike, apparently. Listen to my complete conversation with Chef Bob Adkins and find out even more about foraging on our website, eartheats.org. And now, let's head to the kitchen. Oh, ramps.
So do you recognize these little guys?
These, did Chef Bob pick these?
Yes, these are ramps from Chef Bob's secret patch. The thing about ramps is it's a very fleeting season. You can find the flowering heads after they've kind of, you know, passed the edible stage. And you want to let those be, but burn that into your mind so next year in the spring you can go back and find them. There's only one foraged item that I would suggest that you pick clear, and that's the wild garlic mustard greens, which is very invasive. But with the ramps, always leave some, so next year there'll be another supply of them. We're going to do a pickled ramp, and then we're also going to do a ramp pesto. So what we've done is we've cut off these green tops, and I've put them in a nice pickling jar, and we're going to make a brine to pour over them, and then we can keep them in the refrigerator for, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year, and you can utilize that vinegar for the flavor into vinaigrettes and sauces and things, and then you can also pull out the ramps and eat them like pickles, let's say with a cheese platter or with smoked meats, things like that. You can use them in lots of different things. You can also chop them up and put them in a sauce or sprinkle them on top of a roasted fish. So there's lots of ways you can use them. We're going to go over to the stove. I've got a pan on, and we're going to show you how to do a quick brine. All right, so I've got about 2 cups of vinegar.
Any type of vinegar here?
I'm using cider vinegar, but really whatever you want. If you have, you know, maybe some homemade tarragon vinegar, or you have some rice wine vinegar, you could go a little Asian with the rice wine vinegar. You may throw in some star anise if you wanted to. So, you know, just whatever direction you want to go. But basically, it's the acid that we're looking for. About 1.5 cups of granulated sugar, and about 2 or 3 teaspoons of salt. And then I've got some spices. And today I've got some homegrown bay leaves that I keep in the house all winter and then take out and put in the garden in the summertime. And then I've got a little bit of cinnamon stick, some cloves, some crushed red pepper, and then some coriander and fennel seeds. Now, if you're really against sugar, you could use honey or agave syrup. What you're looking for is just to bring out that sweetness. So you could put maple syrup in this too, which would be another flavor. You have to be careful with a glass container when you put hot liquids in it that it won't crack. Just add a little vinegar at a time, and you're going to temper the glass, let it heat up slightly before adding a whole lot of the vinegar mixture. Okay, and you want to get all those spices and the bay leaves and cinnamon, everything down in there. Okay, we're going to seal this, and this is just a standard pickling jar, and you've got a beautiful batch of pickled ramps. Come back in 2 weeks, and I'll let you taste them.
You got it. You cut the leaves off. Why are we not pickling the leaves?
Well, the leaves would turn a kind of a dark, ugly color. So that's why we separate the bulbs and the greens, and we're going to make the pesto with the greens. So that's the next recipe. We've got everything for that right here. And you can see I've got the leaves here, which I've just blanched. And blanching is having a boiled salted water. You drop your vegetables in it, you cook them to set the color, pull them out, and you plunge them into a ice bath, which stops the cooking, so you get the nice greens. And it partially tenderizes them, but will make it easier for the blender to chop them up. And this will make about 2 to 3 cups of pesto, and you can put that in small containers and then pull it out whenever you need to. They are kind of garlicky, but I like to add a couple cloves of regular garlic. Just to kind of intensify that, we're going to add a pinch of salt, a couple of flecks of pressed red pepper, and then I'm going to start adding the oil. I'll get a little in here to get started, maybe about 1/4 cup. And we've got a nice thick puree, which you can see here, and you can smell that. It's got a nice oniony, garlicky aroma to it. If you're going to freeze it, I'd freeze it just like that. But if you're going to use it right away, you can add cheese. Okay, we'll give it a little taste.
I love that garlic.
You know, it's kind of subtle and velvety in the beginning, and then it has that real garlic kick at the ends.
Now, you have the hot sauce here, not to not to tell you how to use your mojo, but I would love some hot sauce.
Yeah, well, I like to add a couple drops in. Again, it's to taste. This does have some habaneros in it, so I'm just going to add probably about a teaspoon.
Chef Bob Atkins has become our resident ramps expert, so I tracked him down to taste the finished product.
Oh, no expert.
You picked these.
I did pick these.
And so now we turned it into a pesto. What do you think?
It's fabulous. It's got a nice bite. It's rich. A lot of different flavors and textures. This would be excellent over a pasta with some grilled chicken or grilled shrimp. Perfect.
And this is 2 or 3 weeks after I spoke with you last when you forged those ramps. Did you find any more? Have you gone back?
I did. These are. This is probably the last picking that we'll get. They've grown a little bit more, but their bulbs have also gotten bigger. More like onion bulbs than the straight stalks we had before, and I got a lot more flavor down in the whites of the bulbs. So these pickles the chef made also were going to be really fabulous too.
If you haven't had enough ramps yet...
I have not had enough ramps yet.
Okay,
keep it coming.
We were going to be doing a roasted fish wrapped in ramps.
Whoa, okay. So obviously we're going to be using the leaves primarily.
Yes. Great recipe. Another way to use the fresh ramps. You take the greens, blanch them in hot boiling salted water, shock them in ice water, and then what we've done here is we've wrapped the ramps around little pieces of cod. And we're going to take them over and saute them. Okay, hot pan, cold oil. And you'll see that when we put these in, they're going to kind of puff up a little bit. The ramps will puff up as they cook.
Oh, they're popping and crackling. Get me out of this pan.
I think they like it. Okay, I'm going to turn down the heat a little bit and just let this cook through. Now, with any fish, you always want to buy the best, the freshest. It should smell sweetly of the sea. It should never smell fishy. And so that's what you're looking for when you buy fish. You know, you want it to, if you touch a piece of fish, you want it to bounce back. You want the flesh to bounce back. If it kind of leaves a fingerprint on it, that means that the proteins have started to deteriorate. And you don't want to overcook it. That's the biggest problem people have with cooking fish is overcooking it. So you want it to be a little translucent in the center and more opaque on the outside.
Talk about frozen versus not frozen. If you're going to the grocery store, which would you pick?
It all depends. You know, you think of these great sushi restaurants with the, you know, the wonderful toro and the tuna and all that. Well, I would say 99% of that tuna has been frozen. And if you've ever seen the Tokyo Fish Market, you know, they're just sliding around these, you know, 400-pound fish that are rock-solid frozen. They're frozen at sea. So they've captured the freshness by freezing it. And if it's, you know, kept at a real super low temperature, it's just as good or even better. And sometimes, you know, freezing it will kill some parasites that may be in fish. So in that case, frozen is better. But, you know, at your local, you know, big box store, I would probably buy the fresh because then I can smell it, I can see it. All right, so we've got this ramp crusted cod, and I'm just going to present it on a plate. Okay, I've just drizzled a little bit of fresh lemon juice on top, and I always like to do that with any of my fish dishes. It just, you know, the citrus just kind of accentuates that wonderful briny sea flavor. Okay, and then I've got some of that ramp pesto we made, and that's all there is to it.
We found someone to taste the cod for us, a guy who really knows the ins and outs of the kitchen.
I am Matt Gehring. I'm the sous chef here in the mornings.
Matt, as it turns out, is one of the wonderful folks who gets all the ingredients ready for the recipes we cook here at Earth Eats, thanks to him.
That's my job, to make everything easy.
And this is cod with some ramps wrapped around it. What are you thinking?
I think it's very light. It's great. Not overcooked. Very nice spring flavors. The ramp pesto definitely adds a nice little bite to it right at the end.
Pickled, pestoed, and packaged. Three ways to prepare ramps. Print the recipes and see photos of the finished dishes on our website, eartheats.org. And we want to know how you cook ramps. Send us photos, recipes, or just tell us what you thought of this episode, eartheats@gmail.com.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.